going to invite us to do something that you've probably never done in church, but I sense the need for us to collectively focus together this morning, because this message, while it is one that is personal, it's also a collective message. So I'm going to invite you to put both feet flat on the floor. I want you to sit straight up in your chair, and I want you to drop your shoulders. Just drop your shoulders. And then I want everyone to close their eyes. And so we're actually going to take three deep breaths together this morning. And as you breathe in, I want you to think about a question that you have in your mind around your own focus and your own purpose and your own life. And as you breathe out, I want you to just simply say, either out loud or to yourself, I am here now. And then on the final breath, when we breathe out together, we're going to collectively say, we are here now. So again, on the first two breaths, you're going to breathe in, think about your own collective, your own individual purpose, breathe out and say, I am here now. And on that last breath, we're going to exhale and say together, we are here now. So we're going to breathe on the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Exhale. On the count of three, one, two, three, inhale. Exhale, I am here now. On the count of three, one, two, three, inhale. Exhale, we are here now. God, it is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we gather this morning together. And we declare that we are here now. We are here together, and we are here to hear a word from you. And God, we know that the word that you have for us is good. And so we claim it and we accept that it is good. And God, we know that although you give us good and simple messages, we also know that it's not always easy. And so we ask that you will be here with us today, and that you will open our hearts and open our minds and open our ears to what you have for us. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So I believe that one of the reasons Lisa asked me to speak this message this morning is because, she posted on Instagram last night that I could be considered the chief purpose officer. And so I gladly wear that title, because I know that for a season in my life, it was very unclear to me why I'm here. And I know many of you have been in seasons of your life where you've asked, why am I here? Why am I here? You're going through the motions. You're getting up and going to work every day. Yet you feel so disconnected from this idea or sense of purpose. And so because I have, over the years, through some unexpected, unforeseen circumstances, have arrived at my purpose, and I have a good understanding of what my purpose is in life, I also know that part of my purpose is to help lead other people to their purpose. And so because of that, I'm standing here this morning to share with you how to find your purpose. I was also challenged this morning, because when we start talking about purpose, there's so much we can say about purpose. I mean, if you think about the word purpose, it seems so ethereal and theoretical that sometimes it's very hard to actually understand what purpose is and what purpose means. A lot of times people will say, oh, my purpose is to be this, or my purpose is to do this. And so there's so many definitions floating around about what purpose is. And then also in the Christian faith community, sometimes we oversimplify purpose. Well, how many of you have heard in church, well, your purpose is to simply glorify God? How many of you have heard that? Your purpose is to bring glory to God, but yet and still you're wondering, but how? How do I do that? I know sitting in my cubicle from 8 to 5 doesn't always bring God glory, right? So we often wonder, how is it that God wants us to bring glory? Well, this morning, as we talk about our guiding principle, our purpose is our focus, we are sitting at the intersection of the importance of focusing on a collective purpose as a community, and also demystifying the process of individual purpose, demystifying the process of finding, discovering and naming our individual purpose. So as Lisa and other leaders of the Southeast Raleigh Table decided and discussed how to frame the guiding principles and the purpose of Southeast Raleigh Table, the idea of life-giving life arose. And so you, if you're on the social media, you see the hashtag, life-giving life. We talk about it in church, and we use it as a way to frame how we are being in our community. Well, the idea of life-giving life is that each one of us is here to experience the fullness of life. And because we know and we believe in a Christ, in Jesus Christ, we believe that the fullness of life is connected to our relationship with Christ, but it's also connected to our relationship with others. And we believe that when we tap into this fullness of life, that others also have access to this fullness of life. And so the ways in which we are being in community together is not only helping us live a life-giving life, but also showing others that they have access to a life-giving life. So as we cultivate and learn to be in community or to be community with each other, the examination question, and this is Lisa's question, our pastor, our leader's question, is what are we doing, is what we're doing helping us and others to experience a life-giving life and in an impactful way? So I think sometimes we all get really excited about that. We all get really excited about coming alongside other people and living life and doing life and being together in community. But some of us come still knowing that our own individual purpose seems so far away. We feel so very disconnected from who we are in God and what we're even here to do or be. So today, we are going to talk about how to name, discover and name our individual purpose. So I'd like to share a scripture verse that I think helps us to really somewhat simplify and understand the process of finding and or discovering our purpose. And I'm going to read this one passage of scripture in three different translations. So we're going to read Romans 12, 1 through 2. And we're going to read the King James Version, the New Living Translation Version, and the Message Version. So be patient. And we're going to do a lot of reading. So the King James Version says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The New Living Translation says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." My favorite version, the Message Version. "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Testing out my contacts this morning. Nice 2015 vision. So the main point this morning is this. It's only one main point, maybe two, maybe point one and a 1A. So you can, when we get to 1A, you can just draw the little arrow to the sub point. But the point is this: when our life is our sacrifice, when our life is the sacrifice, purpose is our reward. So if you think about this scripture, Paul is writing and he's saying that really we need to present our whole body, our whole self to God as a living sacrifice. Now, what in the world does this mean? It seems so weird to say, give your body to God as a sacrifice, give yourself to God as a sacrifice. Well, as I thought about this scripture text as it relates to purpose, I thought about often as Christians, as people of God who come into church, it's often easy to give our hearts to God. It makes sense for us to give our hearts to God. It makes sense for us to say, you know, God, I believe in you. I have faith. I trust you. I'm going to give my heart to you. But it's not always so easy to give our mind to God, to give our hands to God, to give our feet to God, to give our whole selves to God. And so then we begin to compartmentalize. Right? On Sundays, we come in and we worship together collectively. Maybe throughout the week, we have prayer and devotion, but then we go on and we live our lives and we do the things that we want to do. And we become very disconnected, and God doesn't want us to be disconnected. So in this passage, God is telling us to present our whole selves to God. It really means to hand it all over. A lot of times we will sit down and make vision boards. I love vision boards. I think they're awesome. We create our plan for the year, right? We come together as a family and we say, okay, family, what goals are we going to set for this year? God is asking us to hand that all over to God. This really is a practical way for us to manage and find out who we are in God. Because oftentimes we're struggling with this question, why am I here? Why am I here? Well, when we hand ourselves over to God, we allow God to tell us why we're here. We allow God to show us why we're here. And so the verse goes on to say that we should not be conformed by the culture. This is important. This is very important. Because when we resist the urge to define our purpose by the culture of society, then we allow God to shape a new way of thinking. We allow God to tell us what success means. We don't allow the culture of society to say that the only way to be successful is to be rich or to have a lot of money, but still feel very disconnected and unfulfilled. That's not the success that God wants for us. So when we resist the urge to define our purpose by the culture, we change the way we look at life. We change the way that we approach relationships. We change the way that we approach community. And so then it goes on to say that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What that means is we begin to see ourselves the way that God sees us. It's difficult to find and accept our purpose when we are constantly comparing ourselves to others. When we are able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then God begins to shape our identity. It's very difficult to know what your purpose is when you don't know who you are. And then when God shapes your identity, there's no room for insecurity. So then we do all that. We give ourselves over to God. We resist the urge to define ourselves by the culture. And then we allow God to transform us by renewing our mind. And then each one of these passages says, then we know. Then we know what is God's will for us. Sometimes in our lives, we have it backwards. We're trying to thrive and do all of these things without handing ourselves over to God, without transforming, allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our mind, and also not rejecting the culture and society's definition of who we should be. But the Bible says, then we know what is God's will for us. So I strongly believe that we have made purpose such a very difficult thing for people to understand. I think that practically, purpose is at the intersection of our passion, what excites us, yes, I get so pumped. Your gifts, what you're really good at. There are things that some of us are good at that other people are like, I don't know how they did that. They make it look easy, but wow. Those are your gifts. Those are gifts. And it's at the intersection of our pain, what breaks our hearts, what troubles us. It's really that simple. So when you begin to, and you'll have to sign up for my seminar for this, This is not free. I'll give you the free version today. But when you begin to do the work of really identifying your passion, identifying, owning your gifts, and understanding why certain things break your heart the way they do, you'll begin to find out what your purpose is. You really will discover and be able to name your purpose. And so as we give our lives to God, God begins to show us things. So here's kind of the myth, is that purpose somehow just kind of drops into your life. And God says, yeah, here you go. Here's your purpose. You were created with a purpose. You already have it in you. What happens is that we're so distracted. We're so disconnected. And so when we give ourselves over to God, God is able to say, you know what? Pay attention. Look at that. Look at this. See how that touches you? See where that's calling you? Because your ears become attuned and your heart becomes attuned to what God is saying. So it's not that purpose just all of a sudden drops in your life. Purpose is now cultivated from the inside out. God is now showing you why you were created. It's one of the reasons we baptize children, because we want to give them over to God so that God can begin to shape their lives. And so as adults, we sometimes have to baptize ourselves and say, God, I'm giving myself back to you so that you can show me why I'm here, because then you will know what is God's good and pleasing and perfect will. And so purpose, our purpose is good, our purpose is pleasing, and our purpose is perfect. So then we look at our purpose is our focus. And so there are two words in this principle that we really have to deal with. One is purpose. That's like the feel-good topic. You know, you can wrap your mind around that. The second is focus. Whew, this is a little harder right here. So remember I told you that when our life is our sacrifice, then what is our reward? Thank you. Some of you are listening. Purpose is our reward. Well, focus is the way we say thank you for our purpose. That's the 1A. Draw that arrow. I don't have a slide for that. So how many of you are Team Apple? Team Apple, raise your hand. We won't shun those who are not. So many of you know that Apple over the last few years has released several versions of the iPhone. And so if you have a 7 plus or higher phone, then you have a new feature on your camera function. And that new feature on your camera is called portrait. Some of you are opening your iPhone right now. I didn't know I had that. If you open your camera, you will see a mode called portrait. So let me tell you a little bit about what portrait mode is. Portrait mode uses something called depth effect. Now, if any of you have taken a photography class or are amateur photographers, you kind of know what depth effect is. But basically, depth effect is where you keep the subject sharp and you blur out the background. All right? You keep the subject sharp and you blur out the background. Now, the good thing about portrait mode is that, man, you can take some really nice pictures. I mean, the pictures come out and they look professional, which is actually scary to a professional photographer because you don't really need them anymore, right? But the danger is that now we all have access to this function, which means that I may take a picture of Rita, Ajua may take a picture of Rita, Maggie may take a picture of Rita, and we all may see something very different. We all may look at Rita very differently. So then my picture may look different than Maggie's, different than Ajua's, but with the same subject. The thing about depth effect is that professional photographers have had access to depth effect for a long time. But what they also have known is that they have to hone in on the subject to get a really clear, focused picture. If not, what you see is a little bit of blur on the subject and a little bit of blur on the background. So then, I'm always in awe of parents who take pictures of their kids playing on the playground. It's always fun to watch parents try to get the kids still enough, like they're running around the playground, but they're trying to get that good action shot, and the kid's running too fast. And so in the picture, it looks a little blurry. But then in the background, you see little Tommy, and he's running around the playground with a lollipop in his mouth. And then his mom is chasing him, trying to get him to stop because she doesn't want him to choke on the lollipop. Well, what Depth Effect does, it says, hey, don't focus on Tommy. His mom's okay. She's got him. Depth Effect says, take a picture of your kid. Focus on your kid. Get the picture of your child. Don't focus on what's behind. That's what focus on our purpose means. It means that there's a lot going on in the background. There's a lot of things we could pay attention to. There are a lot of things that are exciting that are happening behind the scenes. But God is asking us to focus. God is saying, look, I gave you your purpose. I showed you what it is. Please stay focused. Stay focused. One of the dangers of our culture is that we have believed that effective multitasking is actually possible. It's not. Multitasking is possible. You can do a lot of things at one time, but effective multitasking is not possible. It's very difficult to be impactful when you're all over the place. It's difficult to affect change and transformation when you're doing a lot of things. So when purpose is out of focus in our lives, we often miss what's important or right in front of us because we're only focused on the background. When we're not focused, the idea of community becomes transactional and not relational or transformative. So then when we're scattered from here and there and we're not focused on our purpose, we can't see that actually just being together in community is enough sometimes. That it's okay to just be together and not do a thing. So, as we seek to collectively embody this life-giving life, there is an urgency for some of us to lay our everyday routine lives before God as an offering. What we don't realize is that when we do that, God is able to do so much more than we could do on our own. The striving and the pushing and the trying to figure it out only just gets in the way. But when we give ourselves to God and we say, God, here I am, an offering to you, then God will do more than what we could do on our own. And then there's an urgency for some of us to hear God calling us into a season of being. This is so hard. This is so difficult for some of us. It is so difficult to understand that what we do is not who we are. And remember, God wants to give us our purpose through our identity. And so when we're constantly struggling to figure out who we are, it's also very difficult to figure out what we should be doing. And so in this season, God is urging and asking some of us to simply be, that this is a season of being, and that we can focus on who God has created us to be, who we are, and how we should be in community with others. So the good news is you were created for a purpose. God is waiting on us to offer our lives as a sacrifice with our eyes, hearts, and minds wide open to God's good and pleasing and perfect purpose. And when God rewards us with that good and pleasing and perfect purpose, we will thank God with our focus. This leads us to life, giving life, and for that, we give thanks. So in closing, I would like for us to just pray. And as we pray this morning, I pray that you will fix your heart and fix your mind on the areas of your life that God is asking you to hand over, to lay on the altar as an offering to God so that God can show you where you are. And God, we just thank you for being God and being God in our lives. And God, we thank you for allowing us to be here together and to have a collective purpose. And God, we claim and we know that you've given each of us an individual purpose to be used to your glory. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to know you and to know your will for us. And God, we know that as simple and as easy as it sounds, God, we know that it's a challenge. And so we ask for your grace. And God, we ask for your mercy. And God, we ask for your joy, that you will establish joy in our hearts as we live in unity and in purpose together. We thank you. We thank you for your good and your pleasing and your perfect will for our lives. We thank you that you are releasing the agony and the angst of the question, why am I here? And we're declaring, God, that you will show us in deep ways who we are and what you will have us be in the world. Thank you, God. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.